Thank you, and good Saturday, everyone, and welcome into the Bonesville pregame podcast. Al Myatt joined by Kevin Monroe, former great in the East Carolina secondary, and now an analyst on the Pirates Radio Network. We're getting ready to kick off against UConn, homecoming for East Carolina, at noon this afternoon. And after a late start last Saturday at Cincinnati, it's a high noon kickoff today at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. Kevin, let's talk a little bit about what we took out of the contest with the Bearcats last week.
Well, once again, Al, I feel like the Pirates were kind of in this game for the entirety of it, but they seemed to find a way, it almost seems like weekly, to give up a big play towards the end of the game that kind of knocks them out of contention. This was a team in Cincinnati that I felt like they could beat, and I think a lot of people felt like they could beat going into the game, and they showed well at some points in the game, but it's we're past the point where we can be taking moral victories or just picking situations where we felt like the Pirates have improved, and now it's time where they have to get a W in the win column before it makes a difference. I mean, a guy like Gunnar Keel, quarterback Cincinnati, comes back after a hiatus, takes some time away from the program, but a guy that the Pirates have seen a couple of times, and he throws with four touchdown passes and hadn't thrown for one this season, had only thrown 11 passes this year, and he got back in there like it was riding a bike. And so you got to make a quarterback like that feel uncomfortable. The Pirates never did. Offensively, they were able to score a couple touchdowns, which had been kind of been their Achilles heel in the past, but you know, just never quite put things together. It's hard to put a finger on exactly what went wrong, but just not enough to win that game on the road. It's a game they needed to win.
Kind of bad timing for the Pirates for Keel to come back. He's kind of been a thorn in ECU's side for three straight years now, and they had lesser experienced quarterbacks playing earlier this year. They turned to the fifth-year senior at homecoming, and he had a big game, didn't face a whole lot of defensive pressure, and when you give a guy like that time to look downfield, he found Khalil Lewis several times for big plays, as you mentioned. But moving forward to the UConn matchup today, Kevin, ECU is looking for some production from Sean Furlow, sophomore out of South Central in Greenville. He had a 27-yard run for his career longest as a freshman against UConn last year. I think the fumble that Anthony Scott had has kind of given way to provide an opportunity for Sean Furlow.
I really feel bad for Anthony Scott because I felt like after getting put second team behind James Summers, it was really tough on him, but he came out and he really, really ran hard against Cincinnati. And I actually felt like he ran better than James Summers. And I think James is a very good player, very good running back. I just think he's not used to lining up solely as a running back instead of being in the wildcat or moving in motion or something like that. And I think he was a little bit too impatient. He was kind of running up behind his offensive lineman several times. I know he's going to get it, and I think he's going to be just fine. But Scott came in and relieved James and really ran the ball well. But, you know, once again, he fumbles the ball. He fumbled twice in that game. He fumbled once out of bounds and then once at a big moment in the game. That's just something you can't have. And as much as the coaches love him and love his ability, they just can't afford to have him out there running the ball if he can't hold on to. And so he's holding it with two hands. He's doing all the right things. But when at the point of collision, he's letting it go. And it's just unacceptable. And so, yeah, to have a guy like Furlow to come in, have a guy like Anderson in the wings, and also to have James Summers out there, I think it's going to be important for the Pirates to be able to use some other guys and focus on protecting the football and taking advantage of opportunities, especially inside the red zone.
I agree, Kevin. I think red zone, you can't rely on passing because the area you can run routes is more limited. And certainly if you've got the ground threat, that's going to help Philip Nelson as he tries to pick receivers. Kevin, on the other side of the ball, defensive pressure. You know, we've talked about one sack in seven games. And, of course, if you're not pressuring the quarterback and they've got time, that makes it tougher on the secondary to maintain coverage and maybe pick off a pass or two along the way.
It's really unheard of, Al, to have one sack in seven games. And honestly, I don't think the front seven and the front four specifically is playing that bad. They just aren't getting to the quarterback. Against the run, they're playing pretty good. And at times, they're getting pressure on quarterbacks, but they're not getting them to the ground. And too often, quarterbacks are able to scramble away or step up in the pocket and make throws. And the Pirates have a pretty good secondary. Certainly, they've given up big plays. But, you know, I like Sargent at corner. I think Colby Gore is getting a lot better at the other corner. Safeties like Simmons and Fulp, when he's out there, have played okay. I do think they can't afford to continue to give up the big play deep, but they can't be expected to cover all day long. And so this defensive line has got to find a way, whether it's through blitzing from the linebackers or what have you, to make a play on the quarterback and make the quarterback feel uncomfortable. Gunnar Keel was a guy that could not move around very well. He was not known as a runner. And sure enough, he was able just to sit in the pocket, pat the ball, and wait for his receivers to get open.
Kevin, a year ago, East Carolina played at Connecticut. And Blake Kemp, I believe, had four interceptions in that game. It was a tough night for the Pirates. And UConn with a one-sided win. And they obviously have passing capability. They're sixth in the American Athletic Conference in the passing numbers. They're last in scoring offense. And that's a situation that kind of parallels East Carolina to a degree. East Carolina leads the league in total yards, average total yards of offense, but the point production is not at a corresponding level. And your thoughts about the Huskies?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty good offensively, but as you mentioned, they're only scoring about 20 points per game. And even though the pass offense has been good as well, they're only passing for about 238 yards per game. So it's not like they're lighting the world on fire. The Pirates are over 300 yards passing per game. Only throwing four interceptions UConn has. So they're fairly efficient through the air, but averaging 370 yards per game of total offense isn't going to be great in this day and age of college football. So there's certainly some things the Pirates can key in on there and try to get them in third and long situations and get them off the field. And that's what they're going to be looking to do. And offensively for the Pirates, you're right. I mean, nothing's going to change until they find ways to score inside the red zone. And honestly, even if that is all field goals, they've even struggled to do that. You know, whether getting them blocked or missing them, they've got to find a way just to get points every time they're down there. And I'm not sure there's been a game yet this season where they've scored every time in the red zone except for maybe Western Carolina.
Okay. Going to be some premier receivers in the league in this game. This afternoon, Kevin, of course, Zay Jones from East Carolina. He's averaging over 13 catches per game. And Noel Thomas for the Huskies, he's second in the league. He's averaging over 9 catches per game. So, you know, two stars in the AAC on display this afternoon. And we mentioned, of course, it's homecoming. And, Kevin, you've played in your share of homecomings at East Carolina. And just talk about that occasion.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. You mentioned Noel Thomas. He's absolutely been lighting the league on fire. And, you know, if there were no Zay Jones, this kid would be getting talked about a lot more. 76 catches on the year, 923 yards and 3 touchdowns, over 115 yards receiving per game. So he's a guy that, just like Zay Jones, you have to know where he is every time he's on the field. And you probably have to double cover him because he's gotten about 60 more catches than the next closest receiver. So he's the guy that they want to get the ball to, specifically on third downs in situations where they have to get a first down. But homecoming is exciting. I don't think anybody would argue with that. It's one of those days where, you know, you're going to have fun things going on during the week. You're going to have things going on that night after the game. And so you just want to be able to enjoy the game, get the win, and go enjoy your friends and teammates and classmates out on the town. So this is going to be one of the Pirates are going to definitely be focused on trying to get a win, and specifically because they've lost so many in a row. It's just getting off that schneid, having the opportunity to get a victory when things have been going so bad and you're facing a team that's also struggling at home. So certainly a big game for the Pirates.
Absolutely. And as is the Bonesville tradition, Kevin, let's talk about Kevin's keys to the game.
I don't think there's any doubt the Pirates are going to have to take care of the football. You know, you can make turnovers a key every week, but it's just been a thorn in their side, whether it's through fumbles or interceptions. Philip Nelson's going to have to keep making good decisions and not turn it over, as well as from the running back position. Got to keep that ball inside if you're going to score, inside the gut. Also, defensively, the big play. The big play has just been absolutely killing them through the air. It got them again last week. Got them a couple times against South Florida. They've got to find a way to get pressure on the quarterback and defend that big play as well. And then special teams-wise, just continue to be solid. Last week was a good week for them special teams-wise. Just don't make any mistakes. Just do what you can do to keep the offense and defense in the game and not give it away.
All right. Kevin, we really need a win. We're looking at diminishing opportunities to reach bowl eligibility. I know you'll look forward to seeing your friends and former teammates at homecoming today. And, of course, we'll have our paintbrushes ready.
It's going to be a good one, Al. It should be exciting. Hopefully everybody shows up in big numbers today.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll talk next week.
All right. See you, Al.
It's the little ship. Bloody Pirates!